gentlemen, to whom it concerns, it's The Late Late Show. And here is your host.
Here is your host indeed. That is the Late Late Show team, and the reason we're playing that this morning is because RTE are in crisis over €355,000 in secret payments to previous Late Late Show host Ryan Tubridy. That's the headline in the front of the Irish Examiner this morning. A serious breach of trust is the headline in the Irish Times. Secret payment scandal rocks RTE, the Irish Independent, and 350k late late dough, D-O-U-G-H, is the headline in the Irish Daily Star this morning. The Herald and the tabloid headlines are having a tabloid headline makers are having a field day with this one. Savings private for Ryan. That's my favourite one this morning. Savings private for Ryan. RTE made secret payments of $75,000 a year to top up Tubridy's salary. Late Late Show host can shed no light on how he was paid €345,000 extra. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the show on 0666 713 666. You can text or WhatsApp us on 083 300 300. Just a simply incredible story and a myriad of questions needing to be answered. The timing of all of this, was this the real reason why Ryan Tubridy decided, yeah, I'm going to leave The Late Late Show? We need an answer to that question, I think. Dee Forbes, the current Director General, and she still is Director General, even though a new one has been appointed, Kevin Backhurst. He hasn't taken up his role yet. She's officially on holidays until the 9th of July, which is her official departure date. There was a going away party for her in RTE last week, just days before this story broke. She's officially still contactable, according to the media that have been trying to contact her, according to a statement given to the Irish Independent earlier on this week when the Irish Independent was chasing this story. But she is not answering the phone, and no response is coming in relation to what she knew and why this deal was signed off on in the first place. If you have your own view or opinion on it, do you feel this is a breach of trust? Are you asking questions about governance in RTE over the public service broadcaster, the licence fee money? A lot of people very upset in the aftermath of all of this. With me on the line to talk about it in the first instance is Deputy Brendan Griffin, who's a member, of course, of the Communications and Arts Committee in Dáil Éireann. Deputy Griffin, good morning to you. What's your initial reaction, first of all, when you learned of this story yesterday?
Good morning, Gerry, and good morning to everyone listening. Gerry, I was shocked, to be honest. It was one of the most bizarre stories I've heard in a long, long time. These are enormous amounts of money that we're talking about here, and loads of questions, I think, are left now in relation to this. How did it happen? Who signed off on it? Is it happening with anyone else? I mean, is it just Mr. Tubridy that's involved here? Or are there other people involved? All these questions need to be asked. And I've written to the committee chair, Deputy Niamh Smith, and the committee secretariat, requesting that RTE would be brought before our committee, the media committee, as a matter of urgency to answer these questions. I understand that other colleagues on the committee have done likewise. Senator Malcolm Byrne in Wexford, my Fine Gael colleague, Deputy Alan Dillon in Mayo, I understand, has done the same. So we're looking for these answers. We're equally appalled and shocked as everybody else is this morning about this, and it's just simply not good enough. And also, as you say there as well, the lack of contactability now of the Director General is something that is extremely concerning as well. I had previously tried to bring RTE before our committee earlier this year. It encountered a lot of resistance from RTE itself, from other people in the opposition as well, albeit on a different matter. But at the same time, one thing I would say is that what I've encountered in the past, and even with the most recent appearance by the chairperson of RTE before our committee, is quite an evasive, hostile response to questioning, and to genuine and honest questioning from members of the committee. And I think maybe it's indicative now of a culture that's there in the organisation, and certainly this story does nothing to convince me anything otherwise. And I really think that this is hugely damaging, more so than just the finance that's involved here. It's a lot of money in the context of RTE's overall budget. It's not an enormous amount of money, but it is huge astronomical money when it comes to one individual. But the element of trust as the public service broadcaster here has been shattered. And that is something that is very, very hard to repair.
Yeah.
In the time of misinformation, where it's everywhere, Jerry, as you know,
and
social media, everything, we rely on our broadcasters. And you know, the thing that really most from I suppose from a Radio Kerry point of view, maybe when you're looking at this morning, you know, you have RTE who are looking for more money to do their job, who are, you know, soaking up the license fee and trying to elbow out any independent broadcasters from any share of that. And yet at the same time, this is going on. If this happened at any independent broadcaster around the country, there would be outcry and there would be talks of, you know, cover-ups and every sort of thing. And yet when this is happening at the public service broadcaster, license, you know, which is paid for by the license fee and the state, you know, this really is a huge scandal, I think, and this is something that we'll be hearing a lot about into the future.
You mentioned the issue of culture and the feeling of resistance that you were getting when trying to get RTE before committees and trying to ask them questions. What does it say about the culture that this took so long to emerge, or that no one internally felt the need to come out, maybe whistleblow, or felt safe enough to say, hold on a second here, this isn't right. They're publishing the top 10 paid stars in RTE every year, yet the figures are wrong. And I know they're wrong, because Ryan Tubridy gets paid €75,000 more than what's being stated. And even when it comes to all the controversy and all the talk and all the discussion around the pay cut that top presenters took, those figures weren't right either.
No, they weren't, and it's very worrying. And the way I can see this happening now, people will try to hide behind accounting ambiguity and that it was a grey area and all of this stuff. But I think it's very much not in the spirit of what was supposed to be done with the organisation at the time. One of the union representatives yesterday equated the top-ups here to being more than the equivalent of a salary of some of their members.
You know, who work on the Late Late Show.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just really, it stinks to the high heavens. I mean, I'm trying to get my head around it still, as are other members of the committee that I was in contact with over the last 18 hours or so. This is something that we just did not see coming. It's bizarre. It's like something you'd see in Father Ted. It's that type of it's just so unimaginable that this would be attempted, and that maybe they thought that they would get away with this. But they did get away with it since 2017, it seems, with the exception of 2020 when it did happen. But the money was completely, as far as I understand, completely covered by a commercial partner. I'd like to know who the commercial partner is as well, and find out more about that.
There's a question as well, just on that matter of the appropriateness of that, of a like sponsorship of a program is one thing. But the other thing, there are rules and regulations around sponsorship and around what you can say and can't say and the sort of things you promote and don't promote. It's all strictly regulated. But the idea that a portion of a top presenter's salary, the presenter in the top programme in RTE, would be paid for by, it's inappropriate.
Well, look, you know yourself, when you're a presenter of a programme with a huge listenership or viewership, you're in a position of influence, strong influence. Whether it's on Kerry Today or The Late Late Show or, you know, any other show in the country with a large listenership, and you have responsibilities then as well as the broadcaster. So these are questions that need to be asked as well. We need to find out more. Was there anything else happening here? The other question, like I said, is, are there other presenters who are benefiting from a similar scheme in RTE? This was found only by an audit, by the way, so it wasn't someone coming forward to say, from the organisation, to say this is actually what we've been doing and we should have maybe declared this. This was only found out because auditors went looking. So this is a real test now, I think, of the chair, the new chair and her board, in terms of how they deal with this, because this is huge and we need to know who knew what in the organisation. Someone in RTE had to know about this, maybe a number of people had to know about this, and what are the board going to do when they establish who knew what?
Yeah, and that's a question that seriously needs to be answered. How quickly, look, we're coming up towards the end of the parliamentary year. Brendan, how quickly would you like to see RTE before your committee or the Public Accounts Committee, or both, perhaps?
Oh, I think that this has to be done immediately. I think they need to be in next week. I think they need to come before the committee next Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday when the Dáil resumes. This can't wait. I know that Minister Martin has summoned the chair, as far as I understand, perhaps as well Dee Forbes as well, the Director General, but I know that Minister Catherine Martin has summoned the chair of the RTE board to meet her on Monday. But I would want to see this happening as quickly as possible. As a committee member, I would want to see an emergency meeting of the committee taking place and RTE appearing before it. I know that the PAC as well, the Public Accounts Committee, are looking for RTE as well. Sometimes it depends, you know, both of our remits overlap on this one. So it may well be one that the PAC gets before we do. But certainly as committee members who have, by the way, you know, have had presentations from RTE where we've been misled. The Oireachtas has been misled with annual reports. All of this now needs to be corrected. It's a very serious matter. And as I said, you know, any public body needs to be trusted. There's a responsibility there for those people running those organisations to manage the public funds honestly and accurately. But in particular, when we're talking about the National Broadcasting Service, which is responsible for truthful content and responsible for the communication of honest and real news, this is enormous, and I think this has done enormous damage to RTE, and it will take a very long time to fix, if it can be fixed at all, and it asks serious questions now about our public broadcaster.
Is this the biggest tragedy out of it for you at the moment, the damage that's been done to that trust?
I think it is. Like, we have many excellent journalists in RTE, fantastic journalists. I know some of them personally through my work over the years. They've done great work. They continue to do great work. They're all undermined by this. Some of them are devastated by this morning, because at the moment, for the last number of years, many of these fine journalists have been fighting a rearguard against, you know, the people who, you know, who dismiss anything that's on RTE as fake news. And,
yeah,
you know,
and I've already seen online and on social media some of those people who would seek to try and push their own agenda, suggesting that things like the COVID pandemic were fake. They're holding this up and trying to twist it and use it as a way to convince people that they were being lied to by the mainstream media. So that's not helpful.
There's an I told you so kind of a thing running there now this morning, and that's not helpful at all. And like, it's a difficult time to be a politician for all of those reasons, you know, the fake news and the conspiracy theories and the abuse and all that. It's equally a very difficult time to be a journalist, and I really feel sorry for, you know, for the good journalists this morning in RTE, the many, many excellent, fine journalists who are there. I haven't met a bad journalist in RTE. You know, they're all doing their work as journalists as best as they can, as far as I can see, and that's been my experience over the years. But also, I mean, also, let's not forget here that during this time, there were the people working in the organisation, you know, the lowest paid people in RTE were being asked to make sacrifices, to take pay cuts, all of these things, and none of that, you know, that was happening, and all the while, you know, none of that was happening for the very at the very top. The other thing I would say as well, Jerry, is that, you know, we need to see openness now here fully from RTE. As you referred to earlier, there is this culture there, as far as I can see, of provide the bare minimum information when you're going in to the Oireachtas committees, and, you know, shut up shop, and, you know, let them know only what they need to know. There needs to be a complete change now here, in terms of we need to see the papers, we need to see the documents, we need to see all the evidence, because this can't go on, and this isn't acceptable. And the other thing I would say is that the culture as well, in terms of handouts to the state, looking for funding, looking for more money, without actually having to make the really hard calls themselves, in terms of the low-hanging fruit, as I would call it, the obvious places. When I asked at the last committee meeting, for example, considering that Virgin Media can operate a television station out of an industrial estate in Ballymount and operate very effectively as well, mind you, when I asked RT if they really need now their Montrose campus, which is a huge campus in a very, very valuable part of South Dublin and a very expensive part of South Dublin, and if perhaps maybe an alternative site would be more suitable, and if they would realise the value of the original site, which must be worth hundreds and hundreds of millions of euro. I asked if evaluation has ever taken place, and that has never taken place. They've never even considered that. Now, surely if you're cash-strapped and if you're in trouble, one of the first things you do is try to appreciate the value of your assets. and yet that's not something even that the board has contemplated, is what I was told by the chair at the most recent committee meeting. That I think somewhat sums up the culture that's in RTÉ, at the top of the RTÉ at the moment, that we get money from somewhere else, we'll take it off of someone else, we'll cut someone else's pay, but we won't make any sacrifices ourselves. That's something that has to change.
Yeah, okay. We're going to leave it there. Deputy Brendan Griffin, thanks very much for talking to us in the programme. Shortly before I come in here, I spoke to Senator Marie Sherlock of the Labour Party's spokesperson on media, and first of all asked her in relation to the Ryan Tuberty RTÉ developing pay scandal what her immediate reaction was when she heard the news.
Well, I think the first thing to say is that this is devastating for RTÉ. I think it's devastating for the staff in RTÉ, and I think my first thoughts really are to those employees of RTÉ who were asked take pay cuts, asked to take cuts to their allowances, that have been continually told that the station is in crisis, and indeed the chair has often used the word the station is in existential crisis due to its funding situation, and yet that we have this basic misaccounting of payments to the so-called stars within, you know, RTÉ. And I think there is a real crisis of confidence now, both amongst the public and certainly amongst the Oireachtas, and I would hope within the government as well, with regards to our national broadcaster. I think it's hard to understate just how serious an issue this is. We've had a number of years now of RTÉ, you know, making a virtue out of the reductions in pay for their highest stars, their quote-unquote talent, and yet we're finding out now that the reality was somewhat different. And I think there are enormous questions to be asked of RTÉ.
And there's a myriad of things to consider here. Number one is what's happened in recent months. Ryan Tuberty has left his role on the Late Late Show. People wondering, well, is this the reason? Did someone know this was coming down the line? He has said himself he's as surprised as anybody in terms of it. Is that a credible position, just on him for a moment, for him to take, given that every year the top 10 salaries are published? He must have been wondering, well, why aren't they showing the true amount of money that I'm getting?
And there's no doubt, obviously, this is an incredibly uncomfortable time for Ryan Tuberty, but I think the question has to be asked, and I think a lot of people, you know, getting their kids ready for school this morning, or, you know, getting into their cars to go to work, or whatever they might be doing, or looking after their, you know, struggling to pay their bills, and saying, how could somebody, you know, not look at the newspapers and say, I'm actually not getting paid that, I'm getting paid much more than that. And actually, you know, he going out and telling people that he'd taken a pay cut when the reality was something different, I think that absolutely beggars belief. And I think it calls into question the overall strategy of RTÉ in terms of saying that it needs to pay its stars so much to hold on to them. Well, if the thing is, if the stars don't even really know what they're being paid, you know, are they really that focused on their exorbitant pay to start with? And I think there are really profound questions now, both for the man himself, in terms of how this could have happened, and anybody in front of a microphone day in, day out, and particularly in terms of talking about the issues of the nation, has an absolute responsibility to have their own affairs in order, and not least when it comes to pay. But I think there's a wider issue here about how RTÉ could be so sloppy. And sloppy is probably a benign word in this situation, but how it could be so sloppy with regards to the pay arrangements for its highest paid contractors, because that's what a number of the highest paid persons are. They tend to be contractors as opposed to employees, and yet could be going after employees then, looking for pay cuts, looking for reductions to allowance.
And the organisation
going on for many years.
The organisation was already in trouble with questions over how it was paying contractors and whether that was tax, you know, if that was okay with the taxman, given that they were the only client of these companies that had been set up, that we've already had that over the last number of years, and yet this information only comes out yesterday about the secret payment.
Yeah, so, and to be clear for your listeners, RTÉ has for many years now been engaged in a practice of what we call bogus self-employment. So it is taking people on contracts, not taking them on as employees, even though their only work is with RTÉ, not with any other broadcaster, but yet they're being kept on what we call bogus self-employment contracts. And there was, you know, RTÉ were forced to review that situation a number of years ago and forced to take some people on as employees. But the reality remains that right across broadcasting and indeed media in general, that there, you know, there is a high prevalence of these what I would call bogus self-employment contracts. And so, you know, there's a whole series of issues here about how RTE continue to justify these sort of irregular pay arrangements with their highest paid earners, and yet then would be very much going after their employees, many of whom earn very little. And I saw the NUJ say yesterday that a researcher on the Late Late programme, it takes them 12 years to get to the top of the scale, and that top of the scale is €55,000. The sums that are involved here in terms of this additional payments to Ryan Tubridy were of the order of €75,000. So, like, you know, there's a, like, it's hard to actually describe how the world of difference that we're talking about here in terms of these extra payments and actually what people on those same programs are being paid very modest incomes by comparison.
The timing of all this, Marie, there's a new chairperson in since last November. There's a new director general in recent times as well. Why didn't information come out in the tenures of the previous occupants?
Well, I think they are all really important questions. And I know, like, RTE has been before the Media Committee, the Joint Directors Committee and Media, and on many occasions, of course, over the past number of years, and of course has made a virtue of saying we're reducing the top pay of our presenters, when, as I say now, the reality is clearly different. So I think there are massive questions here for the national broadcaster, and incredibly serious reputational damage. Like, is it, what's in question now is the confidence of the public, the confidence of the political system in the national broadcaster, and that is an incredible place to be.
The broadcaster has been in financial crisis in the last number of years. It had to sell off some of their land at Donnybrook, and as you said, there had been these promises to get the house in order, to cut, you know, staff numbers, to voluntary redundancies, to cut pay as well. Why then, in that sort of an atmosphere, you would wonder, were these sort of payments being made?
Well, you see, this comes back to this whole culture within RTE of saying we have to pay our biggest stars, you know, eye-washing doesn't even really describe it, exorbitant sums, because of this fear that they would move away or that they would be induced to join some other broadcaster. And this is the irony and the hypocrisy of all this, that there's been a complete sloppiness with regards to how they have approached that pay and a looseness, and yet they have, I suppose, taken, you know, the red pen and the fine tooth comb to the pay of their employees. And I think that in some ways reveals a hypocrisy within the national broadcaster. Mm. And that culture has to change.
Mm. A question as well of how this was all arranged and the appropriateness of it. The initial, and details still coming out, of course, but the initial first 2 years had it down as a situation of a private company, a commercial partner, paying the €75,000 a year. Then when that situation stopped for some reason, instead of the arrangement stopping, it moved into pure taxpayers' money and RTE stumped up the cash themselves. More questions around that?
And look, that's the incredible thing. How could that have been missed in the, you know, in the internal accounting systems within RTE? Like, is it? It is, you know, it really beggars belief that such a system would have been allowed. And my apologies to your listeners here. My kids have descended upon me here, going to school this morning.
You're fine.
But the thing is, but it does beggar belief that effectively. It does beggar belief that such a casual approach and looseness to their internal accounting system, to their highest paid staff, could ever happen. And somebody somewhere forgot that the sponsor was no longer paying. We don't even know if that is the case.
Yeah.
Like, there seems to be, suggestions this morning that there was a kind of a contractual obligation to Ryan Tubridy to continue paying that money, whoever paid it, you know, and even that would have been ever agreed is mind-boggling, to say the least.
Okay, all right, Marie, we're going to leave it there. Thanks very much for talking to us on the programme this morning.
Thank you.